In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. When we follow this crazy shepherd Moses out of Egypt, I don't think any of us anticipated what lay ahead. We had visions, I think, as Egypt was crumbling around us, as the plagues were ravaging Egypt, that maybe we would move out and create a better Egypt, a new empire, a better land for ourselves, because the land of Egypt was crumbling. We were in for a shock. We went through the waters of the Red Sea, and we were still high from the victory. The songs we sang were on our lips. But it took a mere 3 days for the water to run out. And then the songs of victory, the hymns of praise, turned into complaints and demands. What are we going to drink? Moses assured us that the Lord will provide. And when we finally found water, it was poisonous, and we continued to question. But Moses was able to take a tree and put it into the water, and it purified it, and we were able to drink. We were temporarily satisfied. But then 3 days after that, the food ran out. The anger against Moses really started to escalate. Moses, what are you doing? What were you thinking when you brought us out of Egypt? We ate like kings in Egypt. We had pots of meat, everything we ever wanted. Yeah, we were slaves to all the work we were constantly doing. Busy, busy, busy. But we ate like kings, Moses. Were there not enough graves in Egypt for us just to die? In Egypt? Did we have to come out here to starve to death? What were you thinking, Moses? Where's your God? The fury was escalating. The hunger was turning the people angry. Moses came back to the people and assured them, "The Lord has your back. The Lord will provide for you. Just watch." And sure enough, he did. We started to get this flaky substance that would cover the ground in the morning. We asked Moses, "What is it?" Which in our Hebrew language, that's the phrase manna. And Moses never gave us a straight answer other than it's the Lord's provision. So we called it manna. What is it? And we ate this bread. And then in the evenings, quail would cover the land and we'd be able to take them for meat. Our instincts immediately started to kick in. We had gone without food for a significant amount of time at this point, and we were now going to grab everything we could. And Moses told us, "No, you must undo what you have learned in Egypt. Stop storing things up." It was insane to us. We were thinking, "Well, wonder if this doesn't come tomorrow." And Moses insisted, "You must only take what you need for this day. God will worry about tomorrow." Some of us listened. Some of us, when Moses wasn't looking, took as much as we could store up. But we quickly learned, when we stored things up, it rotted. It was nasty and festering, and we'd have to throw it out. Only before the Sabbath day, Moses said, we could store just a little bit more. And when we did that, it lasted through the downtime. So now we were eating, but it got old pretty quick. And then a week later, we ran out of water again. And the anger against Moses turned to a point where I began to fear for his life. The people came as a mob to Moses and demanded, "Give us something to drink." And And Moses responded, "Why are you testing God? God has provided for you. He already gave you water. He already gave you food. He will give you what you need in your own good time." But the people insisted, "Oh, why did you bring us out into the wilderness? So that us, our children, and our animals could just die a miserable death of starvation and thirst." The fear in Moses' eyes was palpable. He retreated, but then he came back and he insisted that the Lord was going to continue to provide. He struck a rock with his staff and a spring burst forth, and we had everything we needed. It was a really rough first few weeks. A lot of growing pains. And maybe you guys can resonate with this, of how hard it is for old habits to die. 9 generations we had been living in Egypt. We were Egyptians. Their very way of life, built upon storing up the excess that the Nile could give, their very way of life was in our blood. Everything that we were programmed to do from birth was in us. And as Moses took us into the wilderness for this camping adventure or whatever it was, those old habits reared their ugly faces. Moses was challenging us to live in a way we had never lived before. He was telling us that all of the ways of storing in Egypt was really trusting and relying on something other than God for our provision. And Moses insisted that after 9 generations away from our God, we needed to return to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he was going to care for us once again. That after letting us suffer for 400 years in slavery in Egypt, we would have a renewed relationship with God. That he would be with us. I remember the question, more than any other question in those first few weeks, that were on the lips of the people. In every corner of the camp, you could hear this question. Is God really with us or not? Moses was preaching a big game about God being with us. He could point to the crossing of the Red Sea, to the plagues in Egypt, now to the bread fallen as dew on the ground. And he could say this was God. The question still lurked within us. Is God really with us or not? And we realized over those first few weeks how much we had lived in Egypt was an answer to that question. How we lived in Egypt said, no, God is not with us. We have to fend for ourselves. Everything we had done in Egypt, our whole way of life, said, no, God is not with us. If we don't provide through the famines, if we don't store things up for tomorrow, we'll die. Because God is not really with us. So Moses was challenging us, our habits to our very core these first few weeks. Challenging us to wake up. Challenging us to actually create space in our lives for God to provide. Those first few weeks we were challenged to our very core to ask a question of ourselves. What do we really need? We would run to Moses quickly, demanding water. We need it now. Food, we need it now. But did we really, really need it? Or was it just a want? Because we had lived so fat and luxurious in Egypt. It's a hard question to ask yourself. What do I really need? What is absolutely essential? And am I willing to live without my wants, my desires? And am I willing to let God give me what I need when He knows it's time? Old habits, they die really hard. As I look forward to the days ahead, I assume that Moses and his God, if he's real, is going to keep pushing us. It's going to take weeks, months, maybe years of pushing us for these old habits of Egypt to get out of us. Because everywhere I look in the camp, I see people creeping back, wanting to live the way they were raised. And Moses is challenging us into something new. We're going to have to be diligent. Every day, we're going to be pushed. Every day, we're probably going to hate Moses. But I think he does this for our good. Every day, we're probably going to curse his God. But maybe every day we'll see a little glimmer. And maybe we'll see that God really is out there. That maybe if we wander with Him, if we create the space, if we let go of our desires and our wants, that maybe God will teach us what we really need. And maybe it's a lot less than we ever imagined. And maybe it's better that way. Maybe we were right that Moses was bringing us into the wilderness for a better life. But maybe it's just different than anything we imagined. Better because God is with us. Or is He? I hope He is. And I hope in the days ahead I'll see that. One day at a time. Amen.